Psalm 34, verse number 7. Read down through verse number 11. Man, we'll see how long this throat drop will last tonight. Hopefully it'll last the whole message. That'd be good. And Psalms 34, verse number 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 11. We'll stop here. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I want us to concentrate on two words tonight. And these two words, as by way of a title, and then we'll look at three things from this passage. But in verse number 9, the Bible says there is no want. No want. Then in verse number 10, the Bible says, they that seek the Lord shall not want. Not want. And so I want to talk for a few minutes tonight about those two words, either no want or not want. And you'll see where I'm coming and where I'm going in just a few moments. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible that we have, that we can read, that we can understand. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can you are in us and abide in us to give us interpretation and understanding of the Scriptures. And Lord, I pray tonight that we will gain something that will be of help to us, Lord. I pray that this is something, Lord, that we can put into practice right away, Lord, and that we will do this this truth, I believe, that's important for each of our lives, Lord. And I believe that maybe we're already doing some of these things, but Lord, help us to step it up a little bit more, whatever it might be. In Jesus' name, amen. I like that verse number 10. The Bible's David here, the author, gives us an illustration. In verse number 10, he gives us an illustration of a young lion. You think about a young lion, and he says that these young lions, they lack, and they suffer hunger sometimes. That's an interesting verse. And maybe these young lions are still learning to hunt. And maybe their parents have gone away from them and to train them, and as they do a little bit different, I guess, than we do. But these parents of this lion maybe have gone away, and they're still learning to hunt, and maybe they're not able to get their prey good enough yet, and so they suffer hunger. They're not able to satisfy the need that they might have for food. I mean, they might be strong, yet they go hungry. Because I'm sure even a young lion is going to have strength. They might have, I've never been close enough to a lion to know this or not, but I have a feeling they do have sharp teeth. If any of you ever been close enough to see the teeth of a lion, I hope none of us ever have to get that close, but I'm sure they have sharp teeth, even though they're young. Yet the Bible says they're hungry. I'm sure that they might have a paw with sharp claws in it. Yet the Bible says they lack and they're hungry sometimes. I'm sure that they are crafty, and yet they hunger. Much can be learned from this passage of Scripture, and I would think that the lion, at least in my mind, would never go hungry. And yet, and so, in other words, that's where we come to these two words that I want us to dwell on tonight, and that is no want or not want. In other words, these lions, these young lions here, for whatever reason, they didn't have any food. Maybe they were young and they were unable to hunt properly, or maybe they hadn't got their wits about them yet like their mom or dad had, and they've gone hungry. They weren't, maybe they didn't follow the direction that their mom and dad had set before them. And so, but the Bible says those that seek the Lord, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, shall not want. You know, I want to live my life, my Christian life, and I want it to be victorious. Do you want to have a victorious Christian life? I sure do. I mean, I'm going to have my problems and I'm going to have my difficulties, but I really believe tonight, if we'll look into this passage a little bit, and we'll look at three words in just a moment, I really believe tonight that each of us can say, we'll be able to say, if we abide by this principle, that we can say, I don't want for anything. I'm not preaching prosperity theology here tonight. I'm not trying to say that if you live by these three things, that you're going to be prosperous the rest of your life. You're going to have a $1 million home, and you're going to drive a $50,000 Humvee, and you know, and have a swimming pool in the back of the Humvee, and so forth and so on. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, you and I, there is no reason why we should not live a victorious Christian life. There is no reason why we can't say, if it's in the Bible, we can say it. And it says here that there is no want. There is not want. And then it gives us some things as to why. I want to live a life of trusting on Him. And I'm getting ahead to the message, so let me jump into it, or I lose my voice. The difference between an empty life and an abundant life may very well lie in these three words. Look at verse number 8. And let's look at three words tonight. And I think if you look at these three words, I think you'll agree with me that these are very important words. But it's biblical. Look at verse 8. Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth. Word number 1 about this message tonight on no want or not want is trusteth or trust. Think about this, if you will, for a moment. In fact, if you're in Psalms 34, you only have to turn back one page to Psalms 32, and let's see it with your own eyes. Psalms 32, verse number 10. What else does David say? Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. You see? Hey, you know, we have sorrow, but you know, with our sorrow, there's joy. Oh, when Jackie called, I was so saddened that her mom had passed. But I know her mom's in heaven. I talked to her, and she gave me her testimony. I heard how she got saved. She's in heaven. Geraldo, when your mom passed on, it was not an easy time for you, and it never will be. We never get over that kind of thing. But oh, even though there was sorrow, there's joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we know that if we're saved and we die, we go on to a far better place. David says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, notice, mercy shall compass him about. Trusteth. Trust. How about this? If we're doing a little bit of Bible study tonight, I guess. Proverbs 11. Turn over there and let me show you this verse. Proverbs 11, verse number 28. Excuse me for doing that, but Proverbs 11, verse number 28. We're looking at three words tonight. I really believe if we'll live by these three words, and these aren't three magical words, but they are three biblical words, that I think we can say, as the psalmist said, we won't have to want. Does that mean we'll never have tough times? No. But you know, even in the tough times, I know that God is in control, and we'll look into that in just a minute. So look at Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall what? Fall. If I'm trusting... I got a new wallet for Christmas. My sister gave me that. My other one was down and out, let me tell you. if I'm trusting in the riches that are in this or not in this, or in my bank or not in my bank, but if I'm trusting in my riches, the Bible says that I am going to fall. If I'm trusting in my wisdom, I'm going to fall. If I'm trusting in my abilities, then I'm going to fall. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Flourish. He that trusteth in his riches. We're not talking, when I say tonight about trust, you know, you know, we're not talking about trusting in a man. We're not talking tonight about trusting even in the preacher. We are talking about tonight about trusting in the God of the Bible. The same God that delivered the children of Israel tonight, we can put our faith and trust in. The same God that had fire come down when Elijah was there with the false prophets, and it's hard to speak sometimes with a cough drop in your mouth. The false prophets of Baal, that same God of the Bible in the Old Testament and the same God of the Bible in the New Testament, you and I tonight can put our trust in. And as we do that and we grow and we develop in our Christian life, I believe we too can say, like the psalmist said there in Psalms 34, I don't have a want for anything. You know, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. When somebody asks me, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I mean, maybe you're the same way. I really don't want anything. just being with my whole family for about 16 hours, all three, two brothers, one sister, or two, yeah, two brothers, one sister, their spouses, and my sister and brother on Christmas night. We were opening gifts there, and there was one present left, and my sister, it was about yay big. She gave it to my mom and dad, said, open it together, and they did, and it was a pair of baby booties, and that's a really neat way to tell your parents you're pregnant for the very first time, isn't it? Their only daughter, my sister, is expecting, and oh, it was a wonderful time, and really, I have no want for anything when it comes to material possessions. And you know, sometimes I think we get our eyes focused on things too much, and we forget, hey, just a family being together, just a few of you that got together on Christmas Day from our church, hey, that's a wonderful thing. And really, tonight, I have no want of anything when it comes to possessions. I have all I need. I mean, I have too much. Hey, let's go to some third world countries tonight and say, and then let's sit down and say how much we really need. You know, I've been to Mexico, and not in the tourist areas either. I've been in the depths of Mexico, where they got no running water in the villages, and I seen the ladies coming out with the buckets on top of their head, where there's one spot to get water, and you have to take it back to your hut every day, to where they've got sheets hung up for doors. That's their door, you know. And so yeah, I've been there. Maybe you've been there too and seen what we call poverty. And we think sometimes that we don't have very much, but we got so much. Bible says in Proverbs 16:20, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I am not trusting tonight my abilities or my talents to put food on my table. And you and we should not be trusting whoever signs your check to put food on your table. I trust one person to put food on my table. That's the Lord. I'm not saying go quit your job and say, okay, now I'm going to trust the Lord to provide. No, I'm not saying do that. But let's be honest. Some jobs don't last forever. Let's be honest tonight. We need to, where does happiness come? Trusting in your tailor shop? I couldn't think of the name of it for a second. Happiness doesn't come in trusting that tailor shop. Happiness comes in trusting the Lord. The Bible says so. He that trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Trust. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Jeremiah said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. What is trust? I looked it up. Trust is this: confidence. Trust is a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity. Listen, this is a long read, but this is good. A reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principles of another person. That's a lot to digest, isn't it? So when I say we need to trust, or the Bible says, excuse me, when the Bible says we need to trust in the Lord, when we make that statement, we are saying that I am putting my mind at ease by the integrity, the veracity, the justice, the friendship, and the other sound principles of God Almighty. And let me tell you tonight, He never fails. He never fails. And you know, even though we've had someone die, a family member of someone die in our church, we can still say He never fails. And when you're at the deathbed of your family member, I want you to know that even though we're going to cry together, we can still say, He never fails. Hey, the air that you're breathing today and that I'm breathing today is from God. Just like that, my wind could be gone. I'm getting ahead of myself, but trust in the Lord. I like what verse 8 says. Blessed are they in Psalms. Back to our passage now. Psalms 34 and verse number 8. It said blessed. What does that word blessed mean? Happy. Happy. Oh, I tell you, it was so much fun getting around my family. And we just have a happy time. I mean, I'm not bragging about my family because we got our faults and we got our problems. We got our difficulties. Keep praying for my brother. He really needs a lot of prayer. My youngest brother. He's not doing right. But you know, when we were all together there and around the table, and actually we weren't at the table, a Christmas night about 7:30, we went into the front room at my parents' house and we sat down and my dad took the Bible out, turned to Luke chapter 2 like he did all those years. And he read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And he went on to talk about how his family is all over the place. One son is in Indianapolis, which is, maybe 300 miles away. One daughter's in Tampa, which is another 400 or 500 miles away. And then we're out here, which is thousands of miles away. But he said, I would rather have you where you're at and be in God's will than have every single one of you living right next door to me. He said, I'm happy to know that my children are doing what God wants them to do. And you know what that comes from? That comes from trusting in the Lord. When I went to my dad and said, Dad, I'm going to go to, I believe God wants us to move to Vancouver, British Columbia. He said, okay. That's what you think God wants you to do? And I look at my dad, and he's not perfect, just like I'm not perfect. But I look at him as an example. And all these years, he's been in full-time Christian work for over 30 years now. He's been paid by a church for over 30 years in an education side, not necessarily the ministry side. But I look at him in all these years, trust in the Lord. And I'll tell you, if you get around my dad long enough, you'll see he's a very happy man. We didn't have a lot sometimes, but we were still happy. And he read that thing. And then he said, well, would any of you like to say anything? And one by one, I jumped in first because I'm the oldest, I guess. But it just happened to go that way. Myself, my brother John, my sister Sarah, my brother Matt. And we all gave a little tidbit there, you know. But trusting in the Lord brings happiness. I want us to be happy. I want you to be happy. And, you know, we'd rather be happy than sad, wouldn't we? And that comes through trusting. Confidence, a reliance on the integrity, the justice, the friendship of another person. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in me. In him. We must put our complete trust in the Lord. I had a job right after college. I'd been working through college. And I had a job at a telemarketing company. And I managed an office. And I had about 200 people that were under my hand. And I had to make call the shots for. And it was a very good job. It paid my bills in college. And I was able to get married. And my wife didn't have to work. Caleb was born. A very good job. The money was good. I mean, this was in 1995, I think it was. There was only going up in this company, and it was growing and expanding, and it's huge right now. But I don't know what it would have meant to me or what it would have been. But all along, the vice president of the company, I told him, I said, Keith, I said, I'm not going to be with this company much longer. I'm leaving. I've got something that God wants me to do, and I know he's an unsaved man, and just no concept of what we were going to do. And I said, I'm going to leave. And he said, well, good night. He said, is it the money? We can give you more money. I said, no, that has nothing to do with it. And I don't know if I've ever said this. I said goodbye to that job. And with that, I was at that job for 9 months. We left in September. I had made about $40,000 in 9 months. And back then, that was a pretty good amount of money in 9 months for only a husband, a wife, and one child. And it was only going to be increased. And I left that job and said goodbye. I had 2 weeks vacation pay I knew I was going to get. And we began to travel and raise the money to come here. And we had $150 a month promised to us. When I cut off that job. Now, I had a place to live where I didn't have to pay anything, which that's a big thing. But we were traveling, you see. I'm not trying to say that I'm a giant of faith, but there was some trust there that I said to God, look, okay, we're going to leave this job. We're going to go do what we believe you've called us to do, and we're going to trust you, and I'll be honest with you. Not a day went by that God didn't pour out his blessing in some way, shape, or form, and happy is the man that trusteth in him. Sometime, each of us, it's going to come to a point where we have to take a leap of faith or a jump of faith or a step of faith a little bit at a time. And boy, happiness comes in trusting in the Lord. Look at verse number 9. Let's see the next word. I've got to move along. Verse number 9. Read that with me right there on your seat. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The second word I thought of tonight was fear. Fear. The Bible says in Psalms 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. I also looked the word up for fear. And the definition was reverential trust or respect with the three words, fear the Lord. Reverential respect, trust, with an hatred for evil. and hatred for evil. I thought that was interesting. I would say that most of us here tonight have heard the definition of reverential trust and maybe even the second part of the definition. And when we talk of fear, again, I've said it here before, we're not talking about cowering fear. We're talking about a reverential respect or a reverential trust to the Lord. But let us remember that second half, and that's the part I want to concentrate on. When it comes to fearing the Lord, there's not only a reverential respect or trust, but there is an hatred for evil. I don't think you have to go too far to realize tonight that fearing the Lord is becoming very rapidly a thing of the past. And I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about tonight in the Christian circle, the fear of the Lord is disappearing. You say, what do you mean by that? What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is not only a reverential trust or reverential respect, but it's that hatred for evil. Fearing the Lord, I mean, I'm talking about the television shows that we might be watching that we shouldn't be. If you can sit down in front of the TV and there's profanity and there's other things on there and it doesn't bother you, then I'm going to have to say tonight, as kindly as possible, there's no fear of the Lord. Because that's not a hatred for evil. You think Jesus, well, he's there, unfortunately, but do you think he approves of most of the stuff on television today? Yes or no? I don't think he does. You know? I mean, you got to go back to the 60s Disney movies almost these days to get something worth watching. I mean, Andy Griffith Show, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, if there's no, and I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you tonight. I mean, if I'm flipping through the channels and I'm watching something and one of those words comes on there, and which is very rarely that happens, but it doesn't matter what it is. It's off. It's over. Gone. You see. Because there has to be some sort of a we have to fear the Lord. We have to have a hatred for sin, not people. We don't hate people, but look, do we want to live a victorious Christian life? Remember, we started with that tonight, and everybody, yeah, we want to do that. Well, we got to trust, but we also got to fear. I'm talking about the movies that we watch, or the places that we go, or the activities we're involved in. Hey, look, don't expect God to bail us out when we don't fear Him. We got to fear Him. He loves us. Yes, He's a God of love, but you know what? He's also just. He's just. And boy, I tell you, woe be to me as a preacher of the Word of God. And you say, but really, to be honest with you tonight, it's not just for the preacher. It's for everybody. Fear God. Depart from evil and do good. The Bible says, seek peace and pursue it. The Bible also says that we are to be separated from the world. We are to come out and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Hey, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say, hey, look, you know, sometimes we ought to sit down and evaluate our life and see what's going on in our life. And then we come to all these difficulties and problems and we blame God. You ever think that maybe it's you? You ever think maybe it's me? It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Hey, I need prayer. But you know, sometimes I'm too quick to look to God and say, hey, what's going on? When really, it's me. It's me. It's the way I'm living. It's something I need to change. And you know, before we turn to God so much and say, why don't we say, whoa, wait a minute, is there something I'm not doing right? I'm not saying that's the way God always treats His children. I'm just saying, look, we need to be a people that trust in God, but we need to be a people that fear God. Do you fear God? When we're not living a separated life from the world, it's awful hard for God to bless us. God's just. We must fear the Lord. We must have that reverential respect for Him. But in these days, I don't need to tell you, we've got to draw a line. I heard a message while we were away last Sunday night. The preacher of the church I was in said, we need to draw a line. And if we draw a line and it comes over that line and it affects our Christian life, then we need to do away with it. We need to get rid of it. And you see, as the world is getting worse and worse and worse, we need to draw closer and closer and closer to the Savior. We need to draw closer and closer and closer, as we sang tonight, to the cross. We need to separate and turn and draw closer and closer and closer. And you know, if we have an attitude of fear, remember, not a cowering like God's going to kill us, but a trust, a reverential respect, but a hatred of evil. Remember, I don't hate any person. Neither should you. But there's a lot of sin out there and the world out there that we need to keep out of our homes. Hey, Dad, we got to keep the world out of our homes. It's your job, Dad. It's my job, Dad. Dad, I'm talking to you right now. I just preached to myself. I got to keep the world. That's my job. I'm supposed to be the leader. Hey, Mom, you got to have the right spirit in your home. Hey, whoever, whatever position you hold, son, daughter, whatever position you hold tonight. Hey, let's fear God as a church. Let's do right. Then look at verse number 10. Bible says the young lions do lack and lack and suffer hunger, but they that what seek. Number one was trust or trusteth. Number two was fear. Number three is seek. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Seek to go after, to drive forward. Do you seek a walk with the Lord? Amos is a book in the Bible that many people forgets there. But Amos is there right before the big book of Obadiah. In Amos chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says, seek the Lord and ye shall live. Hey, this is New Year, right? First Sunday in the New Year. This morning we talked about an open door in 2004. And I believe we'll have open doors that we need to go through this year as a church. And you'll have open doors that you need to go through this year in your home and as you as a Christian and these children that we have in our church. I'm so excited about it and these new babies that we've got. And there's open doors in 2004. But those open doors aren't going to do any good for us unless we're trusting in someone that's able to supply. Hey, don't trust in me. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and what? He shall direct thy path. What path are you supposed to go down? Trust in the Lord. Are you supposed to change something in life? Trust in the Lord. Then fear. Fear him. Hate evil. Have a reverential or a trust and respect for God. Then number 3, seek him. You know, when it came down to knowing what to do with my life. I mean, I was a senior in Bible college. I was 21 years old, and I didn't know what God had in store for me yet. And I finally just had to say, look, God, you got to tell me somehow. No, I'm not like Oral Roberts, you know, and I got a vision from God, and I need, you know, millions of dollars or something's going to happen. I didn't necessarily need that. But I just said, God, you got to direct me, and you seek him. You go after it. You drive forward. Philippians 4 verse 11 says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I love verse 13. Philippians 4:13, you ought to memorize that verse if you don't know it already. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Trust, fear, and seek. I believe those are three words that would help each of us this year to live by. Trust. I mean, I'm talking about trust in him for your supply, trusting him for the direction you're supposed to go in your life. Fear. Hey, I think we need to put a guard up for sin in our lives, in the world. Because I'll tell you, the devil cannot take us to hell if we're saved. I believe that. The Bible teaches that. But I'll tell you what, he will do everything he can to ruin your and my testimony while we're here. And if we don't fear God, and the world becomes more a part of our life, and we can't tell the difference whether we are saved or part of the world, then we're in trouble. And then we need to seek. That means to go after, to drive forward. Hey, I'm looking forward in the year 2004 for great things. Hey, maybe this will be the year God gives us a building. That'd be great. Maybe this will be the year. Hey, you can't just say, oh, no, we're never going to get a building. No. Seek it. Trust. Trust God. Do we trust him for that? Do we seek him for that? Are we living the right way? Are we doing what we can with what we have? You know what? If we do what we can with what we have and do more, then God's going to look down, I guarantee you, and he's going to say, boy, look at those people down there. I got to give them a building. But if we're just sitting back in the chair and doing one of these numbers, then I'll tell you, God's not going to give us a building. But if we're out there working, we're getting the gospel out there, we're praying, we're reading our Bible, we're witnessing, we're taking on missionaries, we're trying to do everything we can in the surroundings of the walls that he's given us. We got a little bus, we're trying to pick some people up. We got Sunday school, we're trying to do more. We want to add new things. In the year 2003, if you remember, we had two goals. That was to have a couple of Sunday school classes and to have a bus. And the Lord gave us both of those. And we need more Sunday school classes. We need a Sunday school class for these boys. And we need to have something during the week maybe for these boys and for our children and for some of the older kids. And I don't know what God's got in store. But hey, trust, fear, seek. Step out. Maybe there's something else each of us can be doing within this church. I thank you, every one of you, for the help that you provide to this church. But hey, let's step out. Step out in faith, the song says, and trust the Lord. Trust, fear, and seek. Let's grab a hold of those three words tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your working in our lives. Lord, we want to do so much for you, and we can't do it on our own. We know that. Would you work in our hearts? Would you convict us, Lord, of what more we can do? I pray tonight that this group of people here tonight would determine, and I'm including me, Lord, that I would trust you more. That I would trust self less and trust you more. Lord, I also ask for myself and for these people here tonight that we would fear you more. I mean, we would clean up some things that need to be cleaned up. That we would add some things that need to be added, maybe devotions with our family and reading the Bible with our family and whatever it may be. Lord, that we can show ourselves to you that, hey, we know we don't work to get to heaven, but we can work for you while we're here. Serve you. And then would we seek what you have for us to do? Would we go after it? Would we not just sit back and say, well, no one wants to hear about God anymore. No one will get saved. Why do we need to pass out John and Romans? No one's going to come anyway, so what's the point? No, I pray that we would step out and press on and seek and go after this thing, serving you and trying to reach people with the gospel. I pray, Lord, that you bless the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Just three simple words, but very powerful words. Trust, fear, and seek. Maybe one of those words God spoke to your heart about more than one of the other ones, maybe. Maybe two, maybe all three, I don't know. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to let the Holy Spirit speak to us tonight through the Word of God. But I know that I want to get to the point in my life more where I do these three words better. Trust better and fear better and seek better. And the Bible, we started tonight with those two words, no want. And as we live by these words, and as we live by the Word of God, and as we draw closer to Him, I believe we become, we grow, and we see more victories, we see more joy, we see more happiness. I would not want to trade what I'm doing for anything else in the world. I would not want to trade what God has done for me for any amount of money in the world. I would not. But I know that I need to trust Him more. I need to fear him more. I need to seek after him more. In a minute, we're going to have a song of invitation. Maybe tonight, you need to come forward. Maybe you need to settle something with God. Maybe you need to say, God, I need you to show me exactly what area in my life I need to change or what direction I need to go. I don't know. Whatever the Holy Spirit spoke to you about. That song that we sang, I'm going to ask my wife to come and play it. The last song that we sang on purpose was trust and obey. trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. As she begins to play that music, maybe you need to come forward tonight and sit down in one of these chairs and do business with God, whatever it may be. We're here as a family. We're here to help one another. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What about it tonight? Do you need to trust God more? Do you need to fear God more? Do you need to seek God more? Do you need to trust God more for helping you to rear your children? Do I need to trust God more for decisions that I have to make, that you have to make? I really believe God has victories after victory after victory available for you and me if we'll only trust Him. Dear Lord, I pray that You'll keep us safe as we return to our homes. I pray that we'll determine this year to do more for You than we ever have. May we read our Bibles through this year for Your glory. May we witness to people this year for Your glory. May we pass out tracts and invite people to church. May we have the greatest year in our church that we've ever had for Your glory. Thank You so much for a beginning to a new year. This Sunday, the first Sunday of this year, we thank You for it. We pray now that each of us would go as we go our separate ways. You'll keep us safe tonight. And that You'll help us this week as we go to our jobs, as we go to here and there, that we'll represent Jesus Christ in a great way. That we will trust You as we live for You day by day. Thank You so much for this day. We commit it now to You. In Jesus' name, amen.